now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to a rather artsy shout out.
I'm Steph and he's Andy. And today on the show,
the Ozone Hotel.
Author Robert Williams joins us live to talk about his new book.
And Brooke Tate,
the local singer-songwriter and guitarist, will be here performing too.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out. Hello.
You always did. I was just waiting for it. I thought, will there be a week when he doesn't go...
I don't always. So I haven't been known to play the Muppets
before. We're going to go right back through every show and check how often you do go...
I actually know which ones you sang for us too. Or had you forgotten that?
There's always that threat hanging over me, isn't there? A Christmas special, Steph sings.
Oh, I think that's a good idea.
So it happens every now and again. You know, community radio, sometimes the computer doesn't work, but it's great when you've got a team that can sing or sort of.
But wait, hang on a minute. There's blackmail. I feel like this is the dark side of the relationship. Like, I've just gone into the Game of Thrones version of your, like, radio marriage.
Would you like to sing for us?
Yes. What, like, right now?
It ended up on a jingle there, so that's the way it works.
Just one thing, Ella, don't give up your day job.
I wouldn't take tips off Steph for singing, that's for sure.
Do you remember that time you closed off a show with karaoke, Steffi? Because that was still one of my favourite shows.
Yes, I think we did.
Should do that again.
Everyone in the green room and the studio were singing. What were we singing to?
I don't remember.
Oh, it was that memorable.
I was so high on just all of us caterwauling away, like, to end the show that I wasn't...
I think
really
that was the whole of Zoo, wasn't it? Just us singing.
It was so good. We just kept going.
Yeah, I remember taking the call from the RSPCA.
we do need to mention it's a black tie event this coming Saturday. I think ticket sales now closed.
They have just closed.
Just closed.
So we're not going to talk about it.
Well, we you can't buy a ticket for it, but yeah,
it's a Bristol.
We're going to launch a diversity awards.
Yeah. The first one's in Bristol, isn't it?
And very kindly, the RAF are sponsoring it, which is great. Mm.
Yeah. So. And I think somebody real famous is going to be there. What's his name again?
I don't know. Patrick Hart. Something Hart.
Well, he told us he was famous. I'd never heard of him before.
No, he goes all London on you when he's on the radio.
Yeah.
We became shout out earlier.
I'd heard. Yes.
Hey, I like the way you said that. Can you say it again?
What, shout out? Yeah, shout you out. Say it like that as what? Well, don't you?
Shout out.
That's kind of Australian.
Well, I guess it's the Bristolian thing. It's better than putting two L's on the end and extra R's in
How
the
would
middle,
you put two L's on the end of shout out? Shout out.
In Bristol, everything has two L's on the end and extra R's in the middle.
Shout out radial.
That's it. Radial. Well done, Nat.
Yeah. My friend who lives back because I'm Bristolian for more than 20 years now, 21 years actually. But from back home,
so you're
near
not Bristolian.
My friends always think that we say Inham up here.
Inham.
Or eat Inham.
In it.
In it. I'm sure it's in it.
I feel like my favourite one is still the Yorkshire Tintinet. You got to go on Tintinet.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Good old accents.
Oh, but I would say as well, even if you're not able to go to the black tie dinner, BCFM still has a Just Giving page up. So if you think we're cool and you love Shout Out and you think we're awesome, then maybe you should check out our Just Giving page. Even just £1
or if you just like
makes
Ella,
a difference.
Give her a pound.
If you love me, give me a pound.
Everyone loves Ella. And she is so cheap.
I like to think of it as affordable, Steffi. You know, I'm not going to turn anyone away.
I'd heard that.
No, right, changing the subject completely. Let's get some events, shall we? uh, had her. You've set Ella off now. She's going to be all right to do the event. So, Natalie, do you want to go first?
No, because Ella's event's more important than the one I find.
Oh, right.
Oh, is it? Well, actually, no. This is a nice thing. So, when I was a baby, tiny, little gay, even littler than I am now, and I'm still...
Did you say a little gay?
Yes, when I was a baby gay.
A baby gay.
Yeah, when I was a gayling.
Last year.
I thought a gay bee was two gay people. I thought a gay bee is like, we're going to have a gay bee.
I mean, I don't know.
Your parents aren't gay.
Are they?
No, they're not.
No, I know they're not, actually.
So you can't be a gay bee.
It's so disappointing. It's so sad. Okay. No, anyway, moving on. When I was but a little lass, I used to live in Taunton, and Taunton has an LGBT night, which we've talked about on the show before. It's called Out, and it's upstairs at the Winchester Arms. And on Friday, the 1st of September, they're hitting their first birthday, and they're really excited. They're celebrating it with a total 80s fest, and as a thank you to their patrons and friends, it's going to be free entry all night. So they really want it to be like a big kind of thing. So if you can,
that's cheaper than you, Ella.
It's even, I know, and I mean, that is saying something. I like to think I set the bar pretty low, so you know, like someone going under me, I mean, that's just a limbo.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
For those of you that have got your tickets for Saturday, we must warn you, Ella is going to be there. So just so you're forewarned.
She will be running around giving out free hugs. Anyway, moving on, and I'm getting away from anything to do with drink for a change. Well, nearly.
It's not like you.
Yeah, there's the AALGBT meeting, and that's on the 21st of the 8th, 2017, at 7:30. And that's at the Friends Meeting House, 126 Hampton Road, BS66JE. It's free, and you can contact asparks812@outlook.com and get details of it. But it looks a good event, and you don't even have to fork out for drinks.
Well, I would hope not. That's a bit of a serious one to be...
Yeah, I thought there was going to be something else that you were taking the mickey out of. We shouldn't take the mickey out of that.
That's quite a serious thing, that.
I do serious at times, and I do care about people.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise it'd be a bit lonely.
That's true, Nat.
Yeah.
True.
People shouldn't be embarrassed. You should go along. If you feel comfortable going along, it's a good thing to go to. We got to look after like the drinking culture in the UK. So, you know, it can be a bit scary sometimes. Yes. I'm like a baby 23-year-old. And I get a bit
scared. Isn't it our friends at Prism as well that help with things like that?
Yeah, and they also have the choir as well, which is really cool, yeah.
So basically, the meeting guide is meetings, unless otherwise stated, are closed meetings and restricted to alcoholics and those who have a desire to stop drinking.
Right.
Cool. Should we move on?
Steph?
have you got another event?
I have one which is just that tomorrow there's a lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, plus walking group, and you can just head along. Should be, and it's starting outside the watershed, and they're trying to decide whether they're going to go to Clifton Suspension Bridge or Leewoods. Is it called Leewoods?
Yeah, it's called Leewoods.
You know I'm not local. But it's going to be lovely. They're going to end the walk with Saturday afternoon refreshments. Expect gorgeous sunny intervals and bring sun protection and the right footwear for walking in the woods.
Oh, yes. It was an odd day with the weather today, wasn't it? One minute it was really sunny, the next minute it absolutely heaved it down with rain.
It really was. It just couldn't make its mind up, honestly. Times like these when
it's
I remember.
Like you, isn't it, Ella?
Well, I like to think it's not that I can't make my mind up, it's just that I've made my mind up that I don't want to.
Obviously you're turning the barrel today. Usually it's mine.
Because
I don't want to be in the barrel today.
I've just got this vision now of Ella turning up to walk in Lee Woods in heels.
Yes. I think you can walk in Lee Woods in heels. I don't know.
What threw you, the spelling? L-E-I-G-H.
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was going to be one of those ones, because, you know, there's lots of little villages and places in England where it looks like it should be said one way and it's not, and then people get really upset with you.
But it's like Lee Delamere, isn't it? People call that the wrong thing. Yeah. Lay Delamere, it gets called, and things like that.
That's people from Southampton, I expect.
And it's like people call Bristol.
Well, it used to be called Brigstow.
Are you dead? Bridge over the river.
Yeah. No, town on the bridge is what it means.
Wait, no, are you guys pulling my leg the listener's legs, or is that real?
No, that's genuine.
Oh, that's really cool.
Bristol was originally called Brigstow, and it meant town on the bridge.
Oh, my God.
If you go to the M Shed and have a look, you can see all the kind of makings of it and like recreations of what it used to look like and stuff like that. So that's how I found it. It's at the M Shed, which is free, I should point out. Love the attraction.
Love the M Shed. It's great.
And just to put an LGBT plus slant on it, it's LGBT plus friendly.
It is so great for that.
Friendly, yeah. Anyway, right, moving on. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's not really like us, is it? That's Flo Rida, that one.
Oh, I like a bit of Flo Rida.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? So it's called, in case you hadn't noticed, because it does say it about 1,000 times throughout the song, but that's called I Don't Like It, I Love It. So.
Yes, hard lyrics, obviously. Must have taken him ages to get to grips with that one.
So anyway, we're moving on to our kind of artsy...
We have an artistic bent in this show.
Yeah.
Yes, we have Robert Williams and Steve Smith.
Hello to you both.
Hello.
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 Author Robert Williams.
Yes.
Now, you're in to talk about your book, Ozone Hotel.
Yes.
Now, it's not launched yet. Am I right in saying it's about to be?
It comes out on the 15th of September.
Right, so close.
We're close. We're about four weeks away.
So we've got to make everyone excited. Now, I'm excited just by looking at the cover.
I have to say, it's amazing cover.
It's a bit bonkers.
Obviously, I'm going to hold it up to the microphone. That means all our 65,000 listeners can see it. Yeah. Magic microphones at BCFM.
Go on, describe it. It's up in the clouds.
Did you say that cheddar gorgeous?
Yeah, the front cover.
Fantastic.
This is
drag
cheddar
name.
Gorgeous.
Fantastic drag
on
name.
The front cover, and on the back cover is Anaphylactic. Two drag performers from Manchester. That's fabulous.
Now,
people.
The photographs are up on our Facebook promo and the Twitter promo. So, if you go into our website, shoutoutradio.ogbt, we have put some photographs up of the cover in the show notes.
Yeah, which so they'll be up with the podcast, won't they? So.
It's very sort of sky blue with clouds, but the drag's very, very purpley lipstick, the purple and pink eyeshadows and diamonds across the head, which is shaved, and also down the neck.
Is it someone you knew that did that, or are you artistic enough and did the illustration for the front?
No, this is a photograph.
Right.
So this is a photograph of Cheddar Gorgeous, and he is the... he's the villain of the book. So he, on the front here, is playing the villain called Lucifer Quim.
Oh, ooh,
and he is a gender-blending tyrant from the 32nd century who is going to come and destroy the Ozone Hotel. Right, I'm giving some of the plot away now.
Well, let's go back a bit.
Yes.
How did it come into your mind to write such a fantastical book?
Well, in the early kind of 90s, in about 1992, 1993... I was in Leeds and I'd just finished art school, and we all used to gather at the Queen's Hotel, and there was used to be this fabulous atrium in the Queen's Hotel where we kind of had kind of tea in the afternoon, and it was kind of one of those old Victorian palace hotels, so it was a very grand place, and we were all very creative people, and we kind of started to kind of come up with ideas and kind of, you know, nicknames for our friends and stuff, and the ideas kind of came about then. That's when all these characters started to kind of be born.
So give us a, because I mean, obviously the book's not out yet, but
it's not out.
Give the listeners kind of a bit of a synopsis. Don't give away too much of the plot, because we want them to enjoy it, but give us a kind of synopsis of what is the Ozone Hotel and kind of what can we expect in the book.
Essentially, the Ozone Hotel is a hotel which exists above the clouds. So it floats above the clouds outside of time and space. And all people from kind of different kind of parts of history come there. It's a kind of like a salon for kind of creative people to kind of come and party and kind of just kind of play with each other. Anyway, this story, The Ozone Hotel, focuses on a character called Mr. Brown, who's from 1929. And he kind of gets bequeathed a golden ticket from his great aunt Gertrude. And that golden ticket actually allows him to kind of go to the Ozone Hotel. Well, initially, he kind of is a little bit kind of reticent about kind of what this would do. But he meets this quite extraordinary lady in kind of his life in the travel agents called Miss Chloe Passion. And she urges him to come to this place. And eventually, they kind of go to the Ozone Hotel. And that's where he meets lots of other different characters like Global Baby, Pink in Feathers, the Vandala twins. It's just a fun book. It's a fun...
I can imagine the first thing people at home are going to be thinking, though, is...
What is
if
this?
It's outside of time and space, how do you get to it?
The only people who get to this hotel are the ones who are given golden tickets, because the hotel was built by the people at the end of time, and the people at the end of time only gave out 4,500 golden tickets.
Oh gosh, quite a big hotel then.
Yes,
if it can handle that.
So
many
if
people.
you
didn't get one.
So if you kind of get a golden ticket by someone kind of giving it to you or bequeathing it to you, you then get access to this fantastic palace above the clouds.
Now, right. Robert, it wasn't all good for you, was it?
No, it
around
wasn't.
2006, you crashed. Can you tell us a bit about...
Yeah, I had a career in television. I used to be a costume designer and a stylist. I used to kind of work in theatre. I used to work in television. I used to do pop promos and kind of drama documentaries. And then around about the time you're talking about, I got sick, and I got diagnosed with a kind of an illness called chronic fatigue syndrome, or otherwise known as ME. And I was bedridden for kind of about 3 years, which kind of pretty much kind of finished my whole career.
Gosh.
And it was pretty tough.
Did it just suddenly come on?
It did. It came on very quickly. Yeah, I kind of... I remember I went to bed thinking I had a summer cold, and then that kind of... I was in bed for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, then 4 months, 6 months... And eventually kind of, you know, obviously I went to the doctors and eventually got diagnosed with this condition. And I mean, we're 10 years on now, and I still have it. You know, it's still something which kind of impacts on my life. It's very difficult kind of, you know, because it's not something which allows me to kind of plan very much, because there's kind of a lot of kind of, it's not very consistent.
So it's not, I won't lie, it's not something I know very much about at all. So is it something that you can just suddenly get about of and need to like just be in bed for a day or a week? Or
no, I mean, the people who have ME, they are kind of out for kind of years, and many years, kind of 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. It's gosh. Something I actually kind of also kind of feel that it's probably something which you never really kind of recover from. I mean, I've had it for 10 years now, and you know, there are still kind of, it's still impacts on all areas of my life.
What helped you, Robert? Was it the book?
Yeah, my creativity.
Friends around you?
My creativity has always helped me. I've got some very good friends who kind of have been very supportive. But when you're kind of incapacitated like that for not just months but years, you have to find things which kind of support you and keep you going. And obviously kind of this book is one of those kind of projects. And
do you think it also, because you're obviously so low... for such a long period, do you think that had an actual impact on the storytelling within the book?
Yeah, I think I've kind of gone through a lot of kind of periods of anxiety and depression with this illness, and you know, kind of probably kind of the Ozone Hotel is a little bit of a flight of fantasy. I mean, the Ozone Hotel is this kind of phenomenal kind of place above the clouds, and it's somewhere I'd like to go to. It kind of just
does have quite good fun. It's I'd love to see what the view is like from up there. It must be quite spectacular.
Yeah, it's just the sun and the sky, yeah. Isn't it?
I just can't wait for the movie.
No.
Well, that's one. We have actually kind of had a lot of people read this book just to kind of review it. And lots of different kind of people from lots of different generations have read it. And what's really exciting is that I think there's something in this book for everyone.
Mm.
It's
can I just read out to everyone what Stephen Fry wrote about,
yes,
after reading the book? Checking into the Ozone Hotel has blown my mind, my imagination, and all kinds of other parts of me too. An instant camp classic, but something more than that. R.K. Williams plays with science fiction conventions, gender, character, and big ideas with wild, colourful, and lovable virtuosity. A Barbarella and Myra Breckenbridge for the YouTube generation. The Ozone Hotel gets 5 stars on Acid Trip Advisor. R.K. Williams is a name to watch out for. Stephen Fry.
That was quite amazing, getting an email from Stephen.
Mm, I bet.
Yeah, and kind of saying that he'd read the book and, you know, giving a quote for it. I mean, I just love that.
Barbarella, Myra Breckenridge for the YouTube generation. Just about, isn't that fantastic?
I like Acid Trip Advisor.
Yeah,
I think that's really funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, this like launches very soon, doesn't it?
It does.
Is the next one in the making?
I'm right. writing it at the moment.
Are you? Yes. Is it a follow-on from this one?
It is. There are 5 books in this series.
Oh, right.
And the second one, which comes out, which I'm writing at the moment, will be called The Pyramids of Mars.
Oh. So have you kind of already mapped out like what all 5 books in your head are going to be?
I have.
So it's sitting down and writing all the details.
Yes, it is. So it's finding kind of
it's interesting because we have interviewed some writers who are like, I'm writing the next one, but I don't know what it's going to be about. So it's interesting to talk to someone who's already got that kind of story. Was it always the intention?
I've
to
had
have
a
that
long
much?
Time to think about these things.
So, but I mean, why not write it as one though? What made you? Is it because you want to go into that much detail, or are they kind of still separate stories?
No, to be quite honest, actually, kind of when this book was kind of written as a contained piece, and when I kind of started to kind of come to, because I actually kind of finished the first manuscript of this book before I was poorly.
Right.
And that was the first early draft. And then I started to expand upon this kind of manuscript when I actually kind of became sick. You know, so that's what I've been doing over the past kind of 10 years. It just kind of felt when I kind of finished kind of it that it kind of needed to run into another book. You love the characters, you know.
So if you're listening, when you get to the end and you go, ah, what happens next? The good news is you're not going to have to wait long to find out.
Well, there are fun characters in here. You know, there's Global Baby, and she's from the 1960s. You know, you've got Mr. Brown, who's from 1920. Chloe Passion's from the Victorian era. And then Lucifer Quim and Celeste Skywell, they're all from the 32nd century. So they're kind of in a completely different future. So it's kind of blending lots of different ideas, time travel, kind of fashion. There's everything in this. It's a fun read, you know, for anyone.
What inspired you?
What inspired me?
Yes.
For the characters? Or?
Well, not just the characters, but what inspired you to write a book of fantasy? Are you into fantasy and sci-fi?
I think if I have to kind of look at one source, I think the source will be Michael Moorcock. And in the early kind of 90s, in about 1990, I read a book of his called The Dancers at the End of Time, and it's an extraordinary book of fantasy, and that I think is pretty much the bedrock of what this book has been built upon.
Right. He's written an awful lot of
books. But yes. The Dancers at the End of Time, it's an extraordinary book with, again, lots of fabulous characters. So I think that's where kind of the first ideas started to kind of come through.
Cool. Well, listen, book's out on the... What date?
15th of September.
15th of September. So not long to wait.
You can pre-order it on Amazon.
I was going to say, I'm sure it's on Amazon and most other good retailers too. Other ones are available, we should point out, just for legal stuff. So, but have you got a website that people can have a look at if they want to?
It's theozonehotel.com.
But okay. You can't get that wrong, can you? That's nice and easy. So listen, we'll do what we always do. We'll make sure we put the links on our website as well. So when people go and get the podcast,
the website
it will be there when it goes up. Yep. So but it's lovely to talk
to
you.
It's been lovely talking to you.
And hopefully we'll have you back when you got your next book as well.
That'd be exciting.
Great. So now listen, stay with us. News headlines coming up next. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Nice bit of Gary Barlow. Let me go. I like the sound of that book, don't you?
I do. I can't wait. Well, I've got it in front of me. They brought some.
We got preview copies. I feel like I'm Stephen Fry. It's great.
Yes.
So his review was amazing as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait to read that. And knowing I love reading books that are a minimum of a trilogy. Mm. I really got to get into a group of books. I'm really looking forward
I am really not a book reader, but I am very tempted to read that one.
I have to admit. I've read Lord of the Rings trilogy 8 times.
Oh, have you? Gosh, I haven't even seen the films yet. So, anyway, hello Terry and Niall.
Hello.
Hello. How are you both?
We're both very well.
Would you like a hotel not in the stars, in the sky, isn't it?
In the ozone.
In the ozone. Outside of space and time.
Yeah, like it stands across between a Who and Douglas Adams, doesn't it?
Yeah. Did you ever see a Star Trek episode where they entered a hotel with all they could see was the revolving doors and they couldn't get out?
Yeah, I know that one.
It's a bit like, but I think you can come and go in this hotel, can't you?
Well, one would hope so.
Yeah.
Because I think they've put a golden ticket in my book.
So you'll be reporting.
We might not see Steph after all.
Yes, this is Steph Barnett from the Ozone Hotel for BCFM.
Now, anyway, time for some news headlines.
Of course.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 17th of August.
The Guardian meets the groundbreaking television station for women in Afghanistan this week. Zaan TV boasts a daily audience of 90,000, not bad for a new channel, serving a population that was so severely oppressed during the years of rule by the fundamentalist Taliban regime. Mihira Azali, one of the station's presenters, said... Forgive me. Said things have gotten better, but rights for women are still very bad, especially outside Kabul. Naturally, as fellow broadcasters with an interest in advancing human rights, we wish Zaan TV every success in its mission.
The latest antics of a religious Christian fundamentalist have raised eyebrows in America this week. Texas pastor Robert Jeffress, also known for his proclamations against LGBT human rights, waded into the tense situation between the States and North Korea by announcing that God supports nuclear war against the secretive dictatorial country. However, many other Christians are alarmed at Trump's handling of the crisis. The Catholic Worker Movement held a vigil outside the White House to mark the 72nd anniversary of the dropping of an atomic bomb on Hiroshima.
Staying with ecclesiastical issues, and the liberal Christian think tank Ecclesia reports that a new book addressing divisions in the church over human sexuality has been published. Sexuality, Struggle and Saintliness by Savitri Hensman argues that change is not only possible but necessary in the understanding of the church. This book is available in softback and in electronic format.
Gay vicar and popular broadcaster the Reverend Richard Coles is joining the cast of this year's Strictly Come Dancing. Reverend Coles, who in the 80s was part of the gay and left-wing pop group The Communards, regularly appears on TV and radio to offer his insights into current affairs. Of Strictly, he joked, "Cometh the hour, cometh the overweight vicar with arthritis in his knees."
One for the many LGBT people with pets now. The out pop star Will Young has paid tribute on social media to the love and affection of his pet dog Esme and says that she has seen him through some traumatic illness. Although Will did not reveal what this illness was, many people speculate that it is a reference to his battle with depression.
There have been widespread calls for the Prime Minister to decline an state official visit by the US President Donald Trump. Tensions have been running high over the last couple of days after a woman attending an anti-racist vigil in Charlottesville was murdered by a neo-Nazi who drove at her. Mr. Trump has flip-flopped between trying to imply that the left was as responsible for the violence as the right, and then actually distancing himself from the extreme political right. Some commentators have suggested that the events in the States are the logical conclusion of Mr. Trump's own populist presidency, emboldening and empowering groups from the fringes of society.
Look out for the locally produced music zine Bristol Live, which is free to pick up at community cafes and shops around the city. The magazine this month catches up with gender-fluid and non-binary rock star Joey Four, discussing Joey's emergence from the band Tube Lord to releasing solo material. Joey's album Velvet Realness is out now.
The ashes of Dave Cash, the very literal straight man co-host to outrageous comedy gay presenter Kenny Everett, have been scattered from the LV team Lightship off Harwich. Mr. Cash died at 74 late last year. The location for the ash scattering ceremony was chosen because it's close by to the anchorage of the pop music station Wonderful Radio London, which broadcast from a converted World War II minesweeper during the swinging 60s. It was on Radio London that Cash and Everett formulated the wacky, camp and slightly surreal Kenny and Cash programme, which Kenny Everett always claimed was the first time two radio presenters had shared a daily programme. Although Kenny was not out on the air about his sexuality until the 80s, the other DJs at Radio London knew he was gay and gave him the affectionate nickname of Doris. Dave Cash later worked for Radio Luxembourg and for a while was based in Bristol, where he was programme controller on the city's first legal commercial radio service, Radio West.
For these news stories and more from the LGBT universe, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Niall Addicott
and Terry Starr, coughing quite a lot.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Still in love with you. Don't drink too much fun. Electro Velvet. It was the Eurovision one, wasn't it? So, you know, where the jackets all change colour and the like. So, I'm sure it's something that Brooke's done far more creatively than they did. So, have you ever had a light up jacket in any of your art things?
No, not yet. Maybe one day.
So, anyway, a very warm welcome to the show. We're carrying on with our kind of artsy theme, aren't we?
Yes, we have a very artistic bent today.
Right.
That's not meant you. That's the show.
No, the show.
But we're carrying on with it. Well, actually, you kind of seem like it's not just music you do, is it? You do all kinds of different
things.
You've
got a very broad palette.
Yeah, I've started writing music since moving to Bristol in September. And the painting, I've always liked painting, so I started painting when I was 18. But in the last few months, I just sort of started painting more.
And you were on stage yesterday, I hear.
Yeah, at the Louisiana.
How did that go?
Very well. Yeah, great. It was very exciting. I have a little band now. As of last month, we had a first gig in Louisiana. Mm. And there's trumpet and saxophone and bass and drums. It's all very exciting.
What came first, Brooke? The chicken or the egg. The painting or the singing and the writing?
Singing came first. Yeah. So I distinctly remember the first thing I used to sing was the song from Snow White where she's singing in a well.
Of course I used to be
obsessed with making my voice sound like Snow White, and I remember standing in front of the fireplace and singing to
Do you know I've got the original single of that?
No.
Yeah, it's a 45 and it's green vinyl.
Really?
Yeah.
How amazing. Of that song?
Yes. Yes.
For listeners at home that don't know, a 45 is a little record. Just it went at 45 RPM, didn't it?
It's 7 inches. Yeah. So you wouldn't know what that was.
I actually, when I first started DJing, it was on record, so I do remember 45s, yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, just saying.
But green one, I didn't know they ever made them green.
It was for kids, wasn't it? So they made it sort of enticing. But remember that well.
Good, right. Well, that's the song. That's my first song.
Wow, did you do it that high?
Yeah, no, I used to do it like I used to try and practice.
Brooke, yeah, fantastic.
High up. I loved it.
Now, the painting that you like doing, do you try everything, or do you like doing a specific style?
I used to draw a lot, and then when I, because I hated colours and I hated.
Oh, so you did? What did just, you just use charcoal?
I used to. Not charcoal. I just used pencils for ages, and then it was because I found some old paints in the garage, and that's what I started painting. But I've always loved like Leonardo da Vinci and just the ability to recreate people. And it's people that I like to paint. I don't really like.
I was going
to
say, because we've got notes here that say that your paintings look photorealistic.
Yeah, I know. And that's what, well, I like, I take that as a compliment, but also I'm a bit wary because I don't find photorealistic paintings interesting. So, but to a certain extent, like, there's a really amazing painter.
So now you're going to go off in a different direction.
Yeah. No. Well, I know. I that's why I do, like, the blue and the different, like, to make it decorative and to give, like, blurry outlines on some of my stuff to make it. We've put some examples
of your painting on our show notes on the website.
Yeah, but yeah, they are paintings. They're not because people just think I'm using Photoshop, and I'm like, no, I take flipping forever.
Yeah, that must be a bit annoying because technology is amazing these days. Yeah, and you can with a phone you can just take a photo and do an effect. But do you find that a little bit because it takes an awful long time when you're doing it with a pencil, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a lot of one that you've put on the Instagram of the black girl with the yellow headdress and the blue circle. Like, I met her, then we had a conversation, she came round twice and I did drawings. So there was like a good like 14 hours in that before I even put paint to the board and then doing all the process. So that takes so long. Whereas you could nowadays just snap a photo and then crop it, edit it, pop it on Photoshop and do it and then print it. So,
well, could you draw it from the photo or do you prefer having the person there?
It's nicer having a person there because then you get to talk to them and then you can see from different, like a photograph flattens everything.
Yeah.
And then when you're sat with someone, you can see the like attitude. You can find the different things and think, oh, actually, I'll get that angle of their eyelid or I'll get that little curve of their mouth. Like, whereas in a photograph, you just get one moment. So it's nicer to spend time with them and do different drawings and then you find, Well, that's what I do. I don't know.
Have you got this thing for perfection?
No.
Where you actually, if something's not absolutely perfect, it drives you nuts?
No, it probably looks like that way on the new paintings, but my old paintings before, I used to paint, there's one on my website of an Indian man with his with a turban, and as long as the emotion is there, I think, I'm not a perfectionist, but it seemed like if the eyes are wonky or something like that, you think, okay, I'm going to leave it like that. Because you want to keep the eye contact.
Yeah.
So as long as that's right, in most of my paintings, I think, okay, that's grand. But then on these ones, I'm trying to get them a bit cleaner so that because they're going to be like, because they're reproducing and like, and they're decorative, and there's quite a.
So what's the plan? Are you going to put on an exhibition somewhere with them here in Bristol? Or?
Well, maybe, yeah, but I've got, I should be plugging that, shouldn't I? just in the Green Bank, so not far from here, actually.
Right.
The Green Bank pub, they're like putting up some prints for me as of next Monday for 2 weeks.
So people can go along. Probably over 18s if it's an alcoholic place, but.
Well, it's a pub, it's a family pub, yeah. You can go there in the day, yeah. It's fine.
But that'd be cool, you can see it. So now the other one, I'm sorry, I'm hurrying you a little bit.
No,
it's just because we're running out of show, but you're also, music's your big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
How would you describe your style? Are you going to play something in a minute, but yeah. I'm curious to know what you describe it as.
I always put online, I'm trying to turn my phone on silent, jazz soul, kind of jazzy soul, yeah. So that's what I like. I like Aretha Franklin and Joni Mitchell and all that lot. So
that's what inspired you?
Yeah, all the oldies I like. So
and you've now expanded, you said. It's not just you on your own. You're now in a group.
Yeah. Because people were saying, oh, your songs, they sound like they need a full band. Oh, actually, on the 16th of September, at the Colston Hall Lantern, I'm playing with the Bristol Sessions. So the whole band, like a 10-piece band, are going to learn two of my songs, and we will perform and backing singers. And so that's the 16th, and the tickets are online for that as well.
Cool. Now, we won't lie, but we're doing this with an electric guitar, and because we're in the middle of moving studios, we can't plug it in. So we will do our best to make this come out. But are you up for giving us a song?
Yeah, sure. I'll do it. It'd be quite quiet.
I'll do my best.
Does that sound all right?
Yeah.
Bite your tongue or tell the truth. Should we leave or should we stay? Oh, the choices we make and the words we choose to say. Looking back, the chance was there. It was waiting at the door. But a chance won't hang around. It's not waiting anymore. Who could you have been to me? What joy could we have found? Oh, the unsung melody. When seeds fall on dry ground, how many times we walked away, how many times we turned our heel, or the words misunderstood, when they told us how they feel. Who could you have been to me? What joy could we have found? Oh, the unsung melody. When seeds fall on dry ground, the words we choose to say, the words we swallow down, the words we choose to say, the words we swallow down. Who could you have been to me?
What joy could we have found? Could we have found all the unsung melody when seeds fall on dry ground? Oh, the unsung melody when seeds fall on dry ground.
Wow. Sorry. Amazing.
Oh, I couldn't really hear the guitar bit.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What we'll have to do is, when we're all settled, we'll have to get you back and,
nah,
and actually...
Fault. I should have brought an acoustic. I should have
That was still
still
very
amazing,
smooth,
wasn't it?
Very smooth.
Wasn't it?
Thank you very much.
Now, if people want to come and see you, when are you next gigging? What's the plans?
Next gig... well, the next gig is the Lantern one, so that's with the Bristol Sessions. That's on the 16th of September. But if you go on to Instagram or Facebook, Brooke Tate Art, and Brooke Tate Music on Facebook, and Brooke Tate Arts with an S on the end on Instagram, and that will, I'll pop all my gigs and stuff on there, and art stuff. So,
cool.
Okay. We've put the links on our website.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
yeah, she's good at that.
Oh, great.
No, actually, it was Ivan who did that. For
oh, was it?
Oh,
okay,
yes.
He's good at that.
Good old Ivan.
So, listen, mate, you've got an absolutely lovely voice. We must come see you. We must have you back on the show again when we can actually get you kind of plugged into the desk properly.
Thank you so much.
And
awesome.
Do you a bit more justice than I can do in a tiny little studio
like
this.
It's grand. So. That was wonderful. That was wicked.
So now we are going to... Well, we're back next week, aren't we? But we've got Black Tie Event in the meantime.
We have got the Black Tie Event on Saturday at the Marriott with the Bristol Diversity Awards.
Yes, yes. So.
The first one. Pat Hart, the station manager, will be there and they'll be presenting. I think he's performing as well, isn't he?
Oh, that'll be interesting.
him and his band.
Oh, is he? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Yeah. So. It's all sponsored by the RAF as well, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So... Mm.
It was good of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Really good. But don't look at me.
I tell you what I am so excited about, though. This book. Have you seen this, Brooke?
Sorry?
The book.
The book.
Oh, yeah, no,
yes.
Yeah. I thought it was some sort of, like, it's book on... transvestite psychology.
It's all fiction.
It sounds hilarious.
Yeah, doesn't it? Well, yeah, fantastical, like, I think is the word.
The,
fantastical.
Hitchhiker's Guide.
Yeah, it's very similar, actually. It's kind of like a cross
RuPaul.
Between that and Hitch. Yeah, you could like that with Doctor Who, with RuPaul. So I haven't read it yet, but we were chatting about it earlier. It sounds absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, sounds hilarious.
So... would you ever go as far as doing drag or something? Would you?
So,
no.
I think so, not yet.
No, it's not really.
Oh, and next week we have another author, David Bowie Made Me Gay.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now,
that's the author's name, is it?
I was sent a copy of the book to read.
Have you read it yet?
I'm halfway through, but...
Did David Bowie
make me gay? Did he make me gay?
Yeah. Did you like David Bowie? Were you a David Bowie fan?
I guess he did not.
No,
because I was probably gay before he was around, because I was older than him. So,
yeah, I'm trying to think when he passed away. It's fairly recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Now, the thing is about that book, with that title, I thought it was going to be a story about an individual, like listening to music in the 70s, 80s, growing up, and then David Bowie, oops, made me gay because he came out as bisexual and that. But it's not.
No,
it's not about that at all. So tune in next week
to find out.
Yeah, were you a David Bowie fan at all?
I should say yes, shouldn't I?
Well, who are your inspirations then? if you had to pick music, who would you listen to?
Joni Mitchell,
yeah.
Etta
oh,
James.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Oh,
Joni Mitchell.
Oh yes.
James, Aretha Franklin.
Etta James.
Amy,
oh, she
Amy,
did the.
Yeah.
Etta James did the one that was used as a Diet Coke commercial. I just want to make love to you.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, that's
Etta
James.
We got such similar tastes. You and I.
Have you heard of Leanne LaHavis? You
no.
must have heard Leanne LaHavis.
No.
Look up Leanne LaHavis. Good Lord, she's divine. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's the alive person that
I
absolutely love. Well, Joni Mitchell's alive as well, but yeah, she's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe you should perform Big Yellow Taxi for us.
Pardon? I'll have to learn it. I'll have to learn it.
That was one of my favourites back in the day.
And a case of you. A case of you. I would drink a case of you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. I love that one.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
You two got really, really interesting tastes.
Yeah, but you're a lot younger than me. I mean, a huge amount younger
But
than
I did grow up on musicals like Barbara.
Oh, did you?
Barbara Streisand.
Really?
Barbara Streisand was my first CD that I bought.
Oh.
Barbara Streisand Essentials.
See, now you're waving that gay flag. Yeah. Something chronic there.
My generation. You were born out of time.
I know. Papa, can you hear me? Don't run my parade.
Were you a Liza fan?
Liza Minnelli?
Yeah.
Nah, but I am like a fan of her mum.
I mean, she did Cabaret, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. But her mum just blew her out of the water.
Yeah, well, didn't she?
I mean, really.
Yeah.
There's no point.
Unfortunate about the drug issue, though, the way they worked her so hard.
That's tragic.
Isn't it?
When you look at the YouTube videos and watch, like, the progression of her, it's so tragic.
But a lot of that happened back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s in the movie industry.
Yeah.
They just worked them to death.
Because it was brand new, wasn't it? Yeah. That was the beginning of stardom, really.
Yeah, I guess it was,
it?
Yeah.
I couldn't cope with it. Yeah.
Well, it was the first one in colour, wasn't it, the film?
What one? Oh, Oz.
Over the Rainbow,
No.
Was it called
Wizard of Oz?
Wizard of Oz,
yeah.
Remade several times since, of course.
I still prefer the original.
Yeah, I know, it's really funny when you watch it that all of a sudden goes into colour and the screen gets white.
I know, the first time I saw that when I was a kid, oh my God, that was so magical.
So good. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, the black and white and then the colour.
I wonder if they'll ever remake the original. Because they've made lots of like rewrites, haven't they? But they've never actually kind of
remade it.
You can't. Too much of a classic.
Did you know they were going to cut the song "Somewhere Over the Rainbow"? Did you know?
Oh, were they?
They
really?
They were going to cut it, and then someone stood up and put their foot down and said it needs to be in a film. It's the most famous film. Can you imagine it without that song?
Iconic song.
Exactly. Ever.
Ever. Really, isn't it? Of course, that was Liza's mum as well, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's it, I guess.
Yeah, anyway, that's it for this week. Hopefully, we will see you there Saturday at the BCFM Black Tie event.
You can't, spend some time and check us out online, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
As we said next week, David Bowie made me gay. Well, not me, but yeah, anyway. From myself and everyone else, say bye-bye.
Say bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Blue.
Thanks.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.